Tonight to have Brother Henry Ward here to preach to us tonight. And as you can see from the video, they're doing the work over there in Japan. And that's not, as you can imagine, with so few Christians there, it's not an easy place to go. You know, a missionary would like to be able to report of, you know, dozens and hundreds being saved each month or each year and all that. And that's just not what Japan is like. For them to have been there for 21 years now, just serving faithfully, right there in the same place, that is deserving of great respect. And so we're honored to have them with us. And Brother, thank you for playing the piano for us today, and come preach to us, please.
Okay, thank you very much again, Calvary Baptist Church and everybody in it. Pastor Stone Street and son Nathan and Brother Cham Sudan, right? Okay, that's close. I don't know. I keep trying to say it. But and Brother Shepherd and all the staff here, I thank you for the opportunity to share our work here. Like I said this morning, we met Pastor Stone Street the first time about 10 years ago when he first came to Japan, and then this year he came again. In March, and preached at the Bible conference in the Bible school near where our church is. And so we thank you as a church for sending him there, allowing him to go there. Now, I don't know, I hope you're not just trying to get rid of him, amen, just to, it's like, well, the cat's away, the mice will play, as they say, but I don't think that was the case. Anyway, as you send your pastor to mission fields, he gets more and more of a burden, and it transfers on to y'all. And I can tell that you all have a burden for missions. And we, by the greetings that we received from many of you today, I want tonight for Christ to be glorified. And my purpose, obviously the preaching of the Word of God is the purpose here in the message. If there's people here tonight that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I wish that tonight you would receive Christ as your Savior. Amen. And I also think that there's some people, young people, maybe some not so young people, that God wants you tonight to surrender your life to do whatever He wants you to do. And finally have real freedom. Finally have real prosperity. And maybe there's someone here tonight that God's going to call in a specific way to a specific work, like the pastorate, Christian education, or some mission field. So that is the purpose of my message tonight. I want you to turn to John chapter 6. There are a few Japanese folks that are in the service tonight. So I'm going to do something. I don't know how this is going to work. One time in Japan, I preached a bilingual message. It's where you say one line in one language and say the next in the other. I'm not going to do that tonight, okay? But I am going to say some of the points and some of the verses in Japanese. So Let's turn to John chapter 6. And what we're going to read is verses 5 through 14. So would you stand, would you mind standing in the reading of the Word of God? John 6, 5 through 14. Now, I hope this doesn't bother you. I'll read a little bit of it in Japanese so you can get an idea of that. But that might. I'm going to say the verse number so you know which verse I'm on, okay? All right. John chapter 6, verse 5. Yesu wa me o agete, oze no hito no mure ga, go jibun no ho ni kuru no o mite, Filippo ni iwareta. Doko kara pan o katte kite, kono hitobito ni tabe sase you ka. All right, verse 6. Mottomo, Yesu wa Filippo wo tameshite ko iwareta no de atta. イエスはご自分ではしようとしていることを知っておられたからである。Verse 7. ピリポはイエスに答えた。命名が少しずつ取るにしても200デナリのパンでは足りません。Verse 8. 弟子の一人、シモン・ペトロの兄弟アンデレがイエスに言った。Verse 9. ここに少年が大麦のパンを5つと小さい魚を2匹持ってます。しかし、こんなに大勢の人々では、それが何になりましょう。Verse 10. イエスは言われた。人々を座らせなさい。その場所には草が多かった。そこで男たちは座った。その数はおよそ5000人であった。Verse 11.そこでイエスはパンを取り、感謝を捧げてから座っている人々に分けてやられた。また小さい魚も同じようにして彼らには欲しいだけ分けられた。そして、verse 12。そして彼らが十分食べた時、弟子たちに言われた。余ったパン切れを一つも無駄に捨てないように集めなさい。Verse 13. 彼らは集めてみた。すると大麦のパン5つから出てきたパン切れを人々が食べた上、なお余ったもので12のカゴがいっぱいになった。Verse 14. 人々はイエスのなさった印を見て、まことにこの方こそ世に来られるはずの預言者だと言った。That's the end of verse 14. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, and I pray now that you bless the message. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray we'd have ears to hear, and that you'd change us tonight. Lord, those of us even that are in Christian service, we need to be changed. We need to be revived. We need to have special...more anointing from you and more love from you so that we may perform the gospel ministry. And every Christian in here, we know that we need to come closer to Christ, and I pray that you'd help us to do that tonight. Lord, we ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Okay. Now the title of this message is,When will the Great Commission be carried out? I'm just going to say a few things in Japanese, just the main points. If I did it all in Japanese and English, we'd be here till about 9:30 or something, so we're not going to do that, okay? However, I'm going to say a few things, and so the title would be, Senkyo Daimeire o itsu tatsuru koto ga dekimasu ka?So, when will the Great Commission be carried out? Now, why? The Great Commission has not been carried out as of yet, has it? Now, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That hasn't been done yet, has it? Why not? It may be the lack of dedication of some Christians.But one missionary made this statement. Believers who have the gospel keep mumbling it over and over to themselves. Meanwhile, millions who have never heard it once fall into the flames of eternal hell without ever hearing the salvation story. I thank God for the freedom of religion in America. For the first time in many years, I guess many of us feel that it's being threatened right now. We have the gospel preached up and down this nation. We still, however, have cities that need a gospel witness. They need churches that preach the Bible. We need church planting done in this country. But there are places where there's, like, countries where there is hardly any gospel witness at all. In some languages, there's no gospel witness. Why hasn't the Great Commission been carried out yet? When will it be carried out, is my question tonight. When will the Great Commission be carried out? In other words, under what conditions will the Great Commission finally be carried out? And I'm going to give several points on that tonight. Now, the first thing I want you to see, first of all, look in verse 5. Before we get to the first point, let me just give some introduction to John chapter 6.
Yohane 6 章について少しまとめて言っておきたいことがありますので、今言っておきます。
John 6 is the main event here is this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. This is an actual event. But when you read Jesus' words after this in John chapter 6, you find out that event was made to be used in a way of, as kind of like a parable. In other words, as a teaching point. Here Jesus was in front of this crowd of people. 5,000 men, which means there were perhaps 15,000, maybe more people there that day. We know there were children there because there was a little boy that gives Jesus his lunch, right? Now, so there may have been that many people there. He takes this small lunch that the boy has. He takes the bread and the fish and he breaks it. And he distributes it to the multitudes. Now, he doesn't distribute it to them directly, does he? He takes that bread and the fish, he blesses it, and he breaks it up and he distributes it. I seem to have trouble with that word. Kubaru is a lot easier to say. Anyway, so he distributes that to the disciples, and they distribute it to the multitude. Now that's exactly what he's trying to show us something. Now, God could have gotten the gospel out, but he doesn't need jet planes to make skywriting, okay? God could have gotten the gospel out in the whole world by just writing in the sky, couldn't he? I mean, he could have arranged the clouds in a certain design, have the gospel message printed 24 hours a day or something, you know, in the sky. He could have done that, but he did not do that. He could have sent angels to preach the gospel, but he did not do that. He gave that job to you and I. Now, so the Great Commission being accomplished is a matter of us, Jesus' disciples, receiving the bread and the fish and distributing it to the multitudes. Now, what does that bread and that fish have to do with? In this chapter, he talks about the bread that came down from heaven. Now, look what he says in verse 51. He says in chapter 6, verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, what's Jesus saying? He's showing this miracle I did was not just in and of itself just to feed people. It was to show something. I'm giving, he's saying, I'm giving my body to save the world. That's what he's saying. Now look, the name of our church in Japan is called Inoch no Pan Baptist Kyokai, which means the Bread of Life Baptist Church, and it's taken from this John chapter 6 verse 35. Look at John 6 35. Yohane roku no sanju gosho mite kudasai. I'm going to read that in Japanese. You can read it in English. Yesu wa iwareta, watashi ga inoch no pan desu. Watashi ni kuru mono wa keshite ueru koto ga naku. Watashi o shinjiru mono wa donna toki ni mo keshite kawaku koto ga arimasen. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He said, you see that bread I distributed? He said, that's me. My body was broken for you, he said. That's what we read in the Lord's Supper, isn't it? His body was the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. We have to receive Jesus Christ, in other words, believe on him to save us. Receive him as our personal Savior to have eternal life.
He says, look, he says in John 6:35, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. Okay? 私を信じる者はどんな時にも決して乾くことがありません。Whosoever believeth on me shall never thirst. That's what he says. So this is the whole thrust of that message. So this miracle of feeding the 5,000 is a picture of what we are doing and spreading in accomplishing the Great Commission. We receive Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Now we receive that from Christ.Now our job is to take that and give it to others, isn't it? That's what our job is. That's what the whole Great Commission is. That's what the purpose of any Bible-believing church is, any church that belongs to Christ. That's the purpose. If it's not doing that here and around the world, it's not fulfilling this purpose that Christ laid out. Now, why isn't, when will this Great Commission be carried out? Okay, the first thing I want to point out to you is this.The Great Commission will be carried out when we realize it is a command of God to us personally. Look at John chapter 6, verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now, if we read in another gospel, namely the Gospel of Mark,We find out that Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark, actually said this to them. The disciples came to him, and when the day was far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is Mark 6:35 I'm reading. You don't have to turn to it. I'm going to read it. This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages,and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered, that is, Jesus answered to the disciples and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. So now, the disciples saw, hey, these people are hungry, they're tired, they need to go somewhere and get some food. That's their suggestion was. Jesus, send them out into the, you know, neighboring town. Like, remember, just send them out down the street here andThey can go to the convenience stores, they can go to the restaurants and get something to eat. And Jesus, though, said to the disciples, Give ye them to eat. Now, that's, nowadays, we would use this command form. You give them something to eat. Wouldn't we say that? In other words, usually command form is give them something to eat.But when you want to emphasize who you're giving the command to, you put the subject in. You say, you give them something to eat. So Jesus was saying to the disciples, hey, don't palm this responsibility off on somebody else. You do it. That's what he said. Now, so the Great Commission is a command of God to us, not just as a church, but to me, Henry Ward, personally.To every one of you, you say, well, I'm not a missionary, brother. Hey, every person who's a child of God has received the bread from Christ. They've received Christ, the bread of life. They've received him, the water of life. They have been born again. That person holds in his hand, his or her hand, the bread of life. Our job then is to give that to others. It's our responsibility. Hudson Taylor made this statement. The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It's a command.Be obeyed. That point in Japanese, この日本語でこのポイントを言っておきたいと思います。命令だと気づくと宣教大命令を達成することができます。Okay, so we've got to realize it's a command from God to me personally. Okay, now let's look at the second point.Look at verse 5 again. John 6, verse 5. Look at that again. Notice what Jesus does. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread? Now look, what was the motivation or the cause of Jesus telling that to Philip? He lifted up his eyes and he looked on the people. Now the second point I want you to understand is the Great Commission will be carried out when we lift up our eyes. Now, in Japanese, that's 目を上げてみると宣教大命令を達成することはできます。What do we mean there? We need to lift up our eyes, first of all, as Jesus looked out on those people, he saw their condition. Now, you and I need to lift up our eyes. You know where we focus our eyes almost all the time? Self, right? On our condition. You know, in Japan, it seems like an epidemic of depression. Now, I've heard from some pastors in the States, it's like the same here. There's so many people that are, they have what they call clinical depression, they call it. Okay, they really do. I'm not saying they don't have it. I'm saying there's a lot of people that have depression. Yeah, but the most part is what we're doing is, in many cases, we're focusing on my condition, the bad points of my condition, right? And so we feel depressed because I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't feel happy right this second, I don't, or something. But Jesus lifted up his eyes, he looked on the multitudes, that was the instigation for him to say, hey, give him something to eat, right? Now you and I need to do the same thing. We need to lift up our eyes on the true condition of people. Philippians 2:4 says this, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. John 4:35, Jesus said, say not yet, ye there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And Jesus said, lift up your eyes. We need to lift up our eyes on our neighbors, our family members, our friends, our workers around us. Look, here's what we think. This stops us from witnessing sometimes. We look at them and we see, well, they got this car, this house, they've got all these things, they're laughing, they're joking with the other guys, they're making fun of me, so they must be like on top of the world. Hey, let me tell you what, they got problems too, just like you, maybe worse. But they're covering them up. Now sometimes you can tell when they're not covering them up because they look depressed, amen? Now, look, we can look. We love to look at our own selves and our own problem. But you know what? Jesus wants us to lift up our eyes and look on the needs of others. And that's going to instigate us to try to meet those needs. We need to look on the spiritual needs of other lands. Hey, America does need church planting missionaries. Amen? Hey, some of you guys are considering, I wonder what I'm going to do with my life. I wonder if what field there is that's openings. Hey, I know some fields where there's openings, amen? I know some fields where there's job security. Nobody wants your job, amen? Nobody wants it, So let me tell you something. Jesus has been already put out the employment advertisements, amen, in the New Testament. And, he said, come ye after me and I'll make you fishers of men. Now look, what I'm saying, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Look around you. Look at the needs. Look at the needs of other lands. Now, another point I want to make is this. Look in verse 5 and 6 again. I'm not stuck on those, all right? We're going to get past these two verses. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now this is really, Jesus was so neat of a person. I mean, God is so cool. He is just a genius. But look at this. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now look, God already knew what he was going to do. And he's just talking to Philip. Hey, Philip, what do you think we ought to do? Right? Now, Jesus does that to you and I. But this point is this. What is it saying? Jesus didn't say, he didn't say, whence shall you buy bread? He said, whence shall we buy bread? And Jesus, it says that Jesus already knew what he, Jesus, would do. You get it? He didn't know what Philip, I mean, he did know what Philip would do, but it's saying he knew what he himself was planning to do. In other words, Jesus knew he was planning to multiply some boy's lunch and feed everybody with it. Now, what's this mean? The Great Commission will be carried out when we realize it's a partnership with Jesus. Now look, there might be a young person here who feels, oh man, I think God's calling me to go to this country. There's no way I can learn that. Like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do. Jesus is saying to you, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus is saying to you, I already knew what I'm going to do through you. Because it's a partnership with Jesus. Now look, in 1 Corinthians 3:9 it says, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. God's husbandry, his farm. That's what it means. Now in Matthew 11:28, the famous passage, Jesus says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the invitation to salvation. Now there's some people in here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. You don't know what rest is. Okay? Because you have the burden of your sin continually on you, no way to take it off. Jesus is the one that can take that off you. You got all the stress of your life. You've got to figure out everything for your life. Now just think if you had a genius to help you figure out what to do with your life. Jesus is that genius, amen? I mean, he made man. Now look, Matthew 11:20, Jesus said that, and then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh man, if I surrender to do God's will, it's going to be a hard life. Hey, if you don't surrender to do God's will, it's going to be a hard life. But it's going to be harder because you're going to do it yourself. Now look, that's what Jesus was saying. Hey, the devil's burden and his slave driving is hard. Our self, burdens we put on ourselves, the slave driving we put on ourselves is hard. Jesus is meek and lowly in heart. He's going to be there in the yoke with you. Now, I'm going to... So the Great Commission will be accomplished when we realize it's a partnership with Jesus. Now, let me give you another point. The Great Commission will be carried out. Well, let's just look at it. Look in verse 7. Look at verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Now, here you had Philip saying, hey, even if Jesus just asked Philip the question, where are we going to buy bread from? For these people. Philip said, look, Jesus, even if we had 200 penny worth of bread, it wouldn't be enough. Now, 200 pennies is not 200 cents, kids, all right? 200 penny means 200 Greek denarii. So that would be one denarii, or a denarius, is one day's work. Wages for one day's work for a regular laborer. Now, I don't know what that is to your $150, $200, whatever it is. You know, so 200 times that. Now he said, even if we had that much money, Jesus, wouldn't be enough. He was saying, like, this is hopeless. That's what Philip was saying. But Jesus, Andrew comes and says, there's a boy here. He says, use my lunch. Now, in Japan, we call this a bento. So, this little boy had a lunch. This is similar to a Japanese lunch. A Japanese lunch wouldn't have bread, but it would have rice balls and maybe some fish, two small fishes. That would be delicious, wouldn't it? So he would have a little lunch, and he said, look, Jesus, some people might need food. Here's my lunch. Now, let me ask you this. Would that lunch do anything to feed? I mean, that was enough for one little boy, wasn't it? I mean, if he split it, then there'd be two little boys that were still hungry. Amen? You know, so it really wasn't sufficient. It's not a drop in the bucket. But the point we understand from this is the Great Commission will be carried out when we realize that the availability of what we have is more important than the amount that we have. Okay? This little boy didn't have much, yet he said, hey, Lord, I don't have much. I was playing this special, little is much when God is in it. Right. He didn't have much. He said, Jesus, I don't have much, but whatever I've got, I'm going to give to you. Amen. Now look, that's a great lesson for us, isn't it? Look, the Great Commission is going to be carried out when some of us realize, and all of us realize, it's more important that we just make ourselves 100% available than if we worry about how sufficient we are or how sufficient it is what we have, right? Now, let me tell you. When before we went to the mission field, in fact, before we were called to the mission field, we lived in the top half of a house. We were renting the top half of a house, and there was a carport there which was open. It had a roof but and posts and everything, but no sides or anything. It wasn't a garage. That's the house we lived in, 5906 John Adams Drive. But anyway, my son Stephen, my oldest son Stephen, was about 3 or 4 at that time. And I went out into the carport to straighten out the shelves that were along the brick wall side of the house. There were paint cans, different kinds of things, tools, whatever on there. So I went out there to straighten that up. Now, as I was doing that, Stephen wanted to help. You know, have you ever had, you know, your little kids that want to help? You know, they're more trouble than help. You know, so, but hey, isn't that good that they want to help? Amen. Now, anyway, so Stephen said, Daddy, I want to help. Daddy, I want to help. Now, he couldn't reach the shelf, okay? So there was a paint can on the floor, on the pavement. I said, Stephen, pick that paint can up. So I picked him up, and he put the paint can on the shelf, and then I set him down. He said, Daddy, I helped. Now, that's the way you and I help God. Right? Now look, God doesn't need your help. God spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast, the Bible says. God could speak and do stuff better than you and I could ever do by working hard for years and years. But he says, I want you to get in on it with me. Now look, we got to realize the availability of what we have is more important than the amount that we have. Now, let's go to another point. In verse 10, Jesus says, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, a number of about 5,000. Now, I want you to think about what was going on here. Here's 15, 20,000 people out there. Now, the people in the front can all hear what's going on between Jesus and his disciples, right? Okay, now this little boy comes up and says, I heard you need some food. Here, use my lunch. So Jesus said, okay, we're going to take that. We're going to use that. Now, so Jesus says, okay, Disciples, now, you guys, you 12, get everybody to sit down so we can distribute the food. So the disciples are going throughout this huge crowd, say, okay, everybody line up here. And they say, you know, what's that? What are we lining up for? Why are we sitting down in these rows like this? I said, we're going to feed you. I said, with what? Where's the food? Now the disciples, look, they didn't see any food, did they? They didn't see where any food was coming from. Now, they had to step out in faith and just get the people arranged for the food that Jesus said was coming, that they didn't know where it was coming from, right? Now the Great Commission will be accomplished when we step out in faith to do it. Amen? We need to step out in faith to do it. Look, when we first started our deputation, I'd been teaching the Christian school for 13 years, and needless to say, we didn't have any money saved up. Amen? You know, we had an old clunky car. But anyway, we had four little kids, and we went to candidate school. We said, we're going to start out full-time deputation, just going down the road, you know? And we did. Say, Brother Ward, how'd you do that without a salary? I don't know. I don't know how. You know, God provided. What I'm saying is, you step out in faith, God will provide. I remember you saw the building there we have there and the property. It went by real fast. There's not much explanation. Let me explain to you what happened there. We had our first property. Oh, that's another story. I mean, I'm going to have to cut this short. But the first building we had to use in Japan for our church, we got free. I mean, rent free. And we had that for like 3 years. Wait a minute. 2.5 years, rent free. Right in the middle of my furlough, I'd gone home on my first furlough, right in the middle of that, the missionary called me and said, hey, Brother Ward, now the owner's selling this building. You know, we can't use it anymore. So what are we going to do? I said, well, try to find another one. If you can't, move into our house. So they moved the church into our house that we were renting there on the field. It was one that had, we were using one little room for it then, 8x13 we used for the church. So when we came back from furlough, that's the place we were using. It was very cramped. We hadn't originally contracted to use that as a church, so I didn't want to put a church sign out front and everything. We just had to try to invite people and get them to come, like a house church, I guess. But anyway, I kept looking and looking for another place to meet. I couldn't find one. They were either too expensive or they wouldn't rent to a church or whatever. So I kept, you know, it was getting to me, not having a good place. The church had saved up, I'm just going to give a dollar figure, even though it's not exactly correct, about $50,000. Actually, would be 500,000 yen, okay? Now it's different. The exchange rate changes, so at any rate, let's say $50,000 saved up. So I had heard somewhere you could buy property if you had one-third the amount down to put down. So I went out there to the real estate agent who rented us our house. And I said to him, I said, look, Mr. Nishimoto, I'd like to find a property that has a building on it so that we can buy for the church. Because I was tired of looking for a place to try to rent. We just couldn't find one. And he said, well, how much do you think you'll be able to spend? I said, about $150,000. And again, this is just, you know, amounts, okay? It's not actual amount. So he said, well, there's no houses around here like that. I mean, the houses in that area were all 450, 500, 550,000 and up. And these were houses, you know, on 1/20th of an acre, and they're, you know, packed communities. But anyway, he said, there's nothing like that. So I was starting to go out discouraged. He said, wait a minute, there's this property over here. It's exactly $150,000. So it was a vacant lot. You saw the lot there. I was standing with my youngest son, Joe, there on it. But we tried to get a loan, but because our visa is only 3 years, renews every 3 years, no bank would give us a loan. So God worked a miracle in the real estate people's heart, and the real estate guy came to me and said, look, Brother Ward, you know, he didn't say Brother Ward, he said, look, Mr. Ward, Wado-san, or whatever he said. I said, how long do you plan to stay in Japan? I said, well, we feel God's called us here. We're just going to stay, you know, our whole lives as far as we know. He said, what if our real estate company loaned the money to you, wired the money and loaned it to you? So I was kind of shocked. But that's what happened. What I'm saying is, you know, we need to step out in faith to do some things that look impossible. You know, some of you people say, God couldn't use me as a missionary. Hey, maybe he could. You know, maybe he could if you step out in faith and start moving in a direction to serving God. Now, the last point, by the way, Hudson Taylor made this statement about that idea. He said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. That's what he said. Now, let's look at the last point. I know I'm going a little bit long. I apologize for that. The last point is this. The Great Commission will be carried out when we realize the great reward of performing it. Now, look what happened at the end of this thing. Of course, what are some of the rewards that happened? 15,000-20,000 people were fed. That's a reward, isn't it? Yeah. Hey, that was a great thing. Some of those people might have fainted on the way out. I mean, in fact, they might have perished. Anyway, that was a great reward. But let's look at verse 13. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now look, how much did they start with? Did they start with one basket? No, they didn't even have that much. Now, where did the 12 baskets come from? Well, we know where it came from. It came from heaven. And now, but the point is, if that little boy had not given his lunch, they wouldn't have had 12 baskets left over. Now, that was a reward. 12 baskets, what, 12 disciples? They each get a basket to take home to their wife. I don't know what. Or take home. You know, but I've always wondered about what happened to that little boy. You know, when he went home to mom, and she said, what happened today? He said, well, I gave us lunch, and then, you know, Jesus used it to feed 15,000 people. Young man, I've talked to you about lying before. You know, I can imagine she ran him in there and washed his mouth out with soap. I don't know what. I hope that didn't happen. Amen. Or maybe he came home with the 12 baskets. I mean, it was his food in the first place, right? He comes home with the 12 baskets. Son, what in the world did you do? Where'd you get that? Jesus, I gave him my lunch, and then the 12 baskets came out. She said, you head for the woodshed right now, young man. You know, like Pastor Nathan this morning. I don't know. But anyway, he had to go to the woodshed there. But, you know, I don't know what happened to him. But look, they had 12 baskets. There was material benefits. Jesus said, look, given it shall be given unto you. You know, if we give to missions, I know some of you, most of you already know that. You've participated in Faith Promise missions. You know how God has blessed you, not always in monetary ways. I mean, all kinds of tangible and intangible ways. God blesses your life here on this earth and your family because of that. Now look at this verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come in the world. Look at it. There was a harvest of people that believed on Jesus that day. Why? Because the little boy said, here, use this lunch, which is not enough to do a thing with. Right? Instead of keeping it for himself, if he'd have kept it for himself, he would have eaten and been satisfied, but nothing else would have happened. Right? Instead, he stepped out in faith, he gave that to Jesus, and it was adequate. It was more than adequate for the task. Because the one that's doing the whole work is Jesus, who's lifting us up, letting us put the paint can on the shelf. Amen? Now, hey, let me ask this. How many people want to get in on this? I want to get in on it. I want to say, Jesus, let me help. Let me help. Amen? Let me help. And then afterwards we can say, I helped. Really, Jesus helped us. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father,